Welcome. Welcome to the best 5-minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
This guy has been in kitchens for 35 years, but it took a rare stomach cancer diagnosis to turn him into a true food and wine guy. From relearning the basics of taste to building a private chef practice around health, wellness, and pairing, this guy's got a story worth sitting down and pouring a good glass of wine to listen to.
Hi there, it's Chef Chuck Hayworth, the thankfully local private chef and the resort chef right here in North Carolina on my front porch discussing some of my favorite wines today.
Let's get a little bit of your background in, you know, you had a real life-changing event.
So 26 years ago, I was diagnosed with a rare stomach cancer, and it changed my life completely. It changed how I had to learn to taste food and, of course, taste wine and other beverages. It completely reinvented my sense of taste and the way that I taste food and pair wines with it. So that happened 26 years ago. I've been a private chef that long. I was asked to be a private chef by some cancer patients and caregivers that were in a therapy group with me, and I've been at it ever since. So I love what I do, and I do what I love every day, pairing wines with foods for special events for my clients.
How receptive are people? Myself, I've been healthy. Thank goodness my parents were health nuts way back in the day. And so I've been drinking, you know, smoothies for breakfast, protein smoothies that are popular now. I've been doing it my whole life. So when I figure out, when I don't feel right or something, I adjust my diet. How receptive are people to you approaching them and saying, well, I just want to, you know, I want to take a pill?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, there's really two types of clients. There's number one, the type of client that comes to me because they have been medically ordered to alter their diet and they really have no idea where to start. And then there's another type of client that is the longevity client, that is the wellness client like you, that's been eating healthy their entire lives, that's interested in learning different types of cooking techniques and tactics that can keep their health and wellness plan going well into their senior years.
Before your diagnosis, you weren't a chef, correct?
Oh, I actually was a chef. I've been working in kitchens now for the last 35 years, but I actually changed dramatically my career when I was diagnosed with a rare stomach cancer 26 years ago. It really is where I can pinpoint the changes that came, and especially my love for pairing food and wine together. That really came with having to learn to taste food all over again. And in doing that, taste food and beverage all over again.
Now, when you say taste food, for me, I'm bland. I like a plain hamburger, meat, cheese, and bun. I don't like any condiments on anything. Actually, a TV dinner once in a while is right up my alley. So I don't have a refined palate. How, when you say taste food, what do you mean learn to?
Well, all the way down to the basic taste, sweet, salty, bitter, and umami. I had to learn what my body could tolerate. What could I taste and what couldn't I taste? What foods did I need to eliminate from a typical diet of a private chef or a chef at that time working in food service? And what types of foods did I not want to eliminate? In other words, what types of foods could I add to my diet that I wasn't already using? And one of the main things that I did was I learned about the anti-inflammatory aspects of drinking certain types of varietals of wine. And I also learned about the effects, the long-term effects of having a glass of wine and actually slowly eating your meals as opposed to, you know, scarfing down a meal and you know, starting all over again with that type of quick service and fast food lifestyle. Yeah, and one of the things that I teach my clients as a private chef is that we have to learn to sit down and dine, and we have to learn that we don't need to overeat. We don't need to overconsume our food. So one thing that I always have for my clients is healthier snacks laying around. So you mentioned pre-show about juicing and smoothies. We certainly have a lot of those. We have a lot of different almond bites and different, you know, date and almond bites and things that are sweetened naturally that don't necessarily necessarily cause the inflammatory response, but also give the brain that dopamine response that it needs when you're going and you're trying something like a snack or a chip or something that you grab for convenience purposes. So we really work from the ground up with our clients with all of their meals, and especially in their food and wine pairings as well.
You've got the website realmedicalmeals.com, providing a holistic approach to medical nutrition while offering high-quality organic meals tailored to chronic illness management. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know what's great about that is I'm about to come out with several different books that are related to that material. So even if you can't afford my services, we'll be putting out the C5 cookbook, which is the longevity cuisine cookbook. That might be a good option for you. Yeah. And we're also putting out a hidden vegetable cookbook, which is the hidden nutrition aspects of adding vegetables back to typical American and Western diet dishes. So I think those are two really interesting books I'll have to send you copies of. A lot of the influence in my writing and in my recipes has come from clients over the years that have said the same thing, that, hey, listen, you know, things are going great. You know, we're really doing well with the treatment and the therapies and the nutritional therapies that you provide, Chef. So what I would love to do is I'd love to continue this. So what I've wound up doing is handing them a packet of recipes. Well, instead of handing my clients packets of recipes now, I'm going to actually publish these books for the masses to be able to read and learn more about longevity cuisine, learn more about hidden vegetable cuisine, learn more about gut health and other aspects of food within our society, you know, pasture raised and wild caught, and in some cases farm raised items in our food supply that are actually anti-inflammatory and assist you in your overall gut health and your overall cardiovascular health and overall wellness plans.
What's your go-to when you're cooking something and you want to go, you know, healthy? What is your go-to ingredient?
Typically, I like to whip up a quick Niçoise salad, which is a French style salad. It's a boiled egg. It's a little bit of tuna, some green beans, a very simple champagne vinaigrette or go-to vinaigrette. I mean, in fact, that's my quick go-to lunch. Anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, just really something special to provide a variety of different aspects to your diet, something very quick that you can whip up quickly. And sometimes I'll alternate and use some roasted red peppers or sun-dried tomatoes or oven-dried tomatoes, depending on the season, whatever vegetables are in season. That's really my go-to. I love making a nice Niçoise-style salad, some hard-boiled egg in there every once in a while. Similar to a Cobb salad, just kicked up a little bit more, but sometimes I'll add a little avocado to it as well. It's just simple. It's filling, heavy in protein, you know, and of course, polyphenol rich olive oil. I use a raw pressed olive oil. I live here in North Carolina, so I buy my olive oil from a few states over in to our south from Georgia. So I use fresh pressed olive oil, cold pressed from the state of Georgia. And I love that salad. It's just a simple go-to.
What's your reaction when you run across people who are feeding their kids Uncrustables?
Oh, that just, that's one of those situations that I really start thinking I have a lot to work on.
Yeah.
when people are reaching for two pieces of bread that have just had crust cut off of them and some jam. But when you read the ingredients, there's 1,000 preservatives in those things, and they're found in the freezer section of your grocery stores. What I like to work with kids is I like to find out what they love to eat, and then we mix vegetables and fruits into it. So if I'm going to make an Uncrustable, then I'm going to use seasonal fruit. For example, strawberries have just come into season here in North Carolina. So if I'm making an Uncrustable for one of my clients, I'm using a gut healthy sourdough bread, and I'll cut the crust off and I'll make a similar press like you would an empanada or any other type of sealed dough type of dish, and then add whatever butter their parents love for them to have, whether it's pistachio, in some cases pecans here in the Carolinas are really hot. We use those a lot with a lot of different in place of peanuts. And in some cases in other areas of the country, people just love to have that kind of PB&J kind of nostalgia. So I make that for their kids, but there's lots of different things that I mix fruits and vegetables into. So I'll use like a raspberry or blueberry chia as we start moving into the summertime, and chia seeds so that the kids get some additional dietary fiber and omega-3s. Just simple changes that I make to dishes like that, using gut healthy ingredients that are a little bit more on the healthier side, but the kids don't really necessarily notice that we've mixed things into that like that. And the parents are very pleased with the aspects of, well, this isn't just one of those Uncrustables from the grocery store that, you know, has 1,000 preservatives in it, but rather something that's healthier for the child that they can enjoy and really eat on a regular basis as a snack, a healthier snack. Because we realize that the only anti-inflammatory healing that the body needs comes from whole foods nutrition. And the more that we have that, the better that our society is, the healthier that our society is, and we can get back to really working on the child's overall health and the youth's overall health and their parents too, and grandparents in some cases. You know, I've helped whole families when someone's been given a diagnosis like diabetes. It's not the end, it's the beginning of a healthcare journey. And part of beginning a journey like that as a professional, you know, medical chef and medical meal chef that had that lived resilience within me as a cancer survivor, in my case, I'm able to kind of apply these aspects of just trying to normalize this food and not make it taste so bland or unhealthy, or you make it taste like regular food and the whole family is willing to journey with you in this environment that I work in. So I usually take the whole family along when we go into a medical meals journey together.
That's the way to do it, to help out with sustainability down the road.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, there's generations that really, they may be showing pre-diabetic choices at this point in time, may have been diagnosed to one degree or another with pre-diabetes, or in some cases autoimmune disease and other types of intestinal, gastrointestinal types of issues at a very young age. In fact, you know, my clients are getting younger and younger, not older and older. It's really points to the food supply in our society and to the convenience factor that surrounds them in schools, in daycares, in various religious organizations, wherever they're spending their time, sports and athletic clubs. They all have this convenience factor of food, and people just take it in thinking that they're eating healthy food, but they're not. They're eating processed food and a lot of sugar, a lot of added sodium, a lot of added preservatives to the food themselves, what they call food anyways. You know, my whole career for the last 26 years has been combating those aspects of what our society supposedly calls food.
Yeah.
I still have my comfort foods that I go to every once in a while. I think everybody does. Everybody has a cheat sheet, but we shouldn't be eating like that all the time. We program them in for clients. I program in at least 4 cheat days a month for my clients. When we're doing a 30-day plan together or a 60 or 90-day plan, I mean, at least 12 days, at least, of, hey, eat what you want on these days. Let's make sure we focus on inflammation. Make sure that we focus on the after effects of, you know, like I get clients, they want to eat out. They want to go out to their favorite restaurants. And I say, you know, be mindful of what's on the menu. Be mindful of the ingredients that you're sensitive to. Ask the appropriate questions of the service staff. And, you know, in the case of beverages, it's the same type of thing. I'm seeing a shift in the beverage industry like I've never seen in my career, where we've got entire generations of grown adults that are not touching any type of alcoholic beverage. So, you know, in the old days, the restaurant business, you used to be able to make a lot of money off the bar. That's where you were making a significant profit from wine and beer sales and liquor sales. But there's entire generations of Americans now that are completely avoiding that aspect in their life. So we have to kind of make up with, you know, different mocktails and craft types of kombuchas and fermented beverages and things like that that are not fully fermented, like, say, a liquor drink or wine or beer would be. So it's really been a challenge these last, say, 5 to 6 years post-COVID to kind of get into the aspects of what are the general American public looking for in search of food and beverage.
You've got the tasting menu, the Resort Chef Clean Mountain Cuisine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to buckle in, because this is some hardcore stuff here. I don't even recognize half of the items on your menu. Go ahead and tell me about that.
Well, we're very, very excited to be pairing seafood seasonal ingredients. The Resort Chef is based in Boone, North Carolina, which for those of you that have never traveled to North Carolina, that's kind of the region that is right at the western tip of the Piedmont of North Carolina, or the beginning of the Appalachian Mountain chains and the Blue Ridge Mountain chains here in North Carolina. We're hundreds of years into the cuisine up here. A lot of the cuisine that I designed this menu around is found locally here in our region. And I talk with my clients a lot about diversification in their diets with seasonal ingredients. And so we've kind of taken this with not only seasonal ingredients, but we're also taking the seasonal ingredients and pairing wines from our region. The region is called the Yadkin Valley region of North Carolina, and every type of grape you can imagine that grows domestically in the United States is grown in this region of North Carolina. We're very, very proud of it. The Appalachian's been established now for almost, I'd say, somewhere in the neighborhood of at least almost three decades. We are very, very excited to be premiering some of this year's incredible wines from several of the top vineyards in this area that are native to North Carolina. And my location in Boone, North Carolina, the vineyards that I've chosen are actually less than 60 to 75 miles from my location in North Carolina, which I think is, you know, the ultimate farm to table experience.
You've got your courses, you've got asparagus, lemon, seared trout, spring chicken, ancient grains, goat cheese, lemon olive oil cake for dessert. And then you've got wines paired with them, from Chardonnay to Sauvignon Blanc to Lindville Dry White. Have you ever actually changed how you finished a dish because of the pairing that went back with wine? You thought, absolutely.
This particular tasting menu that you're referring to is my spring tasting menu, and it's running through. We're gonna take it through at least the second week of June at this point, since it's been a little bit cooler on the East Coast. It took me about a year to really develop the flavors for these menus. And by the way, we switch over to the summer menu the second or third week in June, depending on the weather. And we have an entirely different menu. I have to send it to you. We have an entirely different tasting menu for that particular set of courses for the summertime, which has all the heirloom tomatoes and more mountain berries and a tremendous amount of ingredients from farms around North Carolina. We have such a diverse state that it's really fantastic. But it took me several weeks to kind of pull everything together. I tasted probably a dozen or more different Chardonnays from around North Carolina. I tasted about five or six Sauvignon Blancs from different parts of North Carolina, different areas. And I fell back on, and of course, reds as well. And as we start moving into the 250th anniversary of our country, we have a very special menu for that we're going to be putting out around about 4th of July range. Just the first week of July, we'll be putting that menu out. And that will feature also a whole bunch of reds as well. We're going to do about seven or eight courses. Every course comes with a pairing, a wine pairing, from less than 75 to 100 miles from our location in Boone, North Carolina. The wines that I have listed currently on the website and with this tasting menu, we've been using now for the last 4 to 6 weeks. I started actually really early because it got very warm very quickly here. So I started in late February, early March, started the spring menu, and was able to secure a lot of the spring ingredients that early from the farmers markets. I've never been more pleased. I mean, this is one of the ones that it's taken me forever to get out there and really get it pared down to having those four senses of taste: sweet, sour, bitter, and umami, all mixed in along with the wines as well. So you'll be able to taste all different aspects of flavors that this state, North Carolina, has to offer, my home state.
You cooked everything from beef vindaloo to mahi-mahi. Is there a dish where you just kind of like challenge the wine to keep up with it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I have been trying to find the appropriate wine that is on the lighter side to go with a really long, I'm talking about like probably 5, 6, 7 hour stewed short rib. And I think I finally found it. It's actually, I get a ton of requests from my clients to find a lighter wine to go with a short rib during the wintertime in particular. What has recently been coming to shelves around the continental United States is orange wine. And orange wine is slightly less aged than, it's aged longer than, say, your standard white wines, but not aged as long as a red wine. So you can take a grape like a Pinot Noir or any number of different red wines, and the crush has happened, and you let it age a little bit shorter time period than you would a red, say, 6 months to a year, maybe. And it creates this beautiful, almost a little less than rosé-like color, a little less than rosé-like characteristics. But when the grapes are grown in the right region, you can really taste that spice on the back of your palate. And that's what I was going for, was trying to find that orange wine that would pair well with that short rib. And I found it. I found it at Hanover Park, of all places, in North Carolina. It's a small producer in North Carolina that produces French varietals here in the Yadkin Valley. And man, oh man, oh man, I can't wait to pour this for your listeners, for your viewers. I can't wait to pour this vintage for them. They're going to really enjoy it. They're one of the first producers of orange wine in North Carolina, and it's fantastic.
What's your pushback when you say that you've seen these people not drinking alcohol in general, and specifically not drinking wine for whatever reason they are? What's your pushback in saying, hey, hold on a second here, you don't need to completely knock wine off of your list?
Yeah, I mean, the first way I try to approach it is I'll always ask the client, you know, what's your reasoning behind this? And sometimes they won't open up about it. They'll say, hey, this is personal. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. Why don't we switch over to some type of non-alcoholic option? And that's where I start getting into mocktails and other types of fermented beverages, such as kombucha and others that, you know, are fermented similar to wine, but are not wine. But they have a lot of the same characteristics, same flavor aspects. So that's one option. But most of the time, when I push back a little bit more, they will tell me they've had a bad experience with wine. Maybe they've had the wrong type of pairing in a restaurant. Maybe they have never experienced multiple courses with wines, which is what I offer at theresortchef.com. You can see more of that. And so then we get into details of what was the wine that you had? What can you recall about your experience with wine that soured your experience and you don't ever want to have wine again, or you don't want to have wine again? So getting down to why that individual doesn't want it. Sometimes people are misled and they think that all alcohol is bad for them. Yeah. We know about the studies that show that red wine and your cardiovascular system is phenomenal. Resveratrol in the grapes actually helps your cardiovascular system when consumed in limited quantities. But hey, I don't know anybody that's going to drink a tremendous amount of wine, especially at my tasting events. We do small pourings at my tasting events, 4 ounces or less, depending. When we get down to the dessert course and we start pouring ports and various dessert wines, it's even a smaller ounce. It's like a 2.5 ounce pour. What I want people to be able to experience with our food and wine tastings is really how the wine accents and helps accent the food. That's the whole point of a sommelier in a restaurant, but it's also how people can really, who especially have been kind of resistant to trying wines with their food, can really get the full picture. Is when you're tasting the food with the wine pairing, you get the full picture of why we pair the wine that we do with the food that we do.
Has there come a time when a dinner guest got a wine pairing with the food so wrong and you said, hey, time out here, buddy. You're not doing it right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, without sharing too much about the client, yeah. Since I'm in the South and I'm based in the South, I do get a lot of clients that they want nothing but sweet wines with their dinners. They're not willing to try anything, even a Chamberson or something on the lighter side, like a Pinot Noir or even a dry oaky Chardonnay, let alone Sauvignon Blanc that has all those tropical characteristics, but is also dry in characteristic most of the time, depending on what region you're in. So we get the aspect where I've been really challenged going, okay, all right, we can try, you know, several different sweet wines, but how open would you be to trying something like a Chardonnay with a piece of fish that's been neatly seared? Or maybe how open would you be with this steak, this filet mignon, to trying something like a Chambersin or a lighter Pinot Noir that would pair really well with the pepperiness in the steak? And there's been pushback on that. And so that's been a real challenge, is trying to get people out of their comfort zone and into the aspect of the food and beverage pairing that is something that we in the industry and 30 years in the industry have been trying to do, which is to get people to turn back to the beverage of choice and away from their comfort zone and kind of go along with what the sommelier and the chef have paired on the menu, especially tasting menus. There's a real challenge with that because they're wanting to swap out different wines and do different things and not just say, okay, listen, this is a fixed menu, prefixed menu, and this is a prefixed wine menu. And I assure you that these have been paired well, and that if you're willing to expand your palate a little bit, we're willing to show this. But here in North Carolina, especially in the eastern part of North Carolina, the closer I get to the coast, more people are accustomed to sweeter wines. You know, the Muscadine varieties Moscato varieties and things like that. And so there are aspects that we can use a blueberry or strawberry wine for in a dessert course, a cheese pairing, for example, other things like that. Thus far, we've had great success this spring in kind of transitioning, especially when people know they're getting the full tasting experience from the farm to table experience here in North Carolina.
Where's all this energy coming from, Chuck?
Well, my friend, I'm well caffeinated.
Oh, okay.
And I'm well caffeinated, but it is really my passion.
Yeah, I can feel it.
It's really my passion to share my joy for food. Food and beverage. My joy is sharing the medical meal aspects with people who need that assistance, the longevity aspects of cuisine. It's true what they say here in the South. You are what you eat.
Yeah.
And you are what you eat. What we take into our bodies has a direct effect on our overall health and wellness.
Yep.
And that includes beverage pairings in the form of wine.
That's why I try to stay away from Fruit Loops and turkey. If you are what you eat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like we have a lot of fun with different aspects like that as well. When people are looking for that type of flavor, especially this time of the year where we have the berries starting to come out, we really surprise them, you know, with different aspects of that we have access to. North Carolina, where I am, is a very diverse state when it comes to cuisine. And when it comes to what grows and what's in season and what's in the fields and what's available at the farmers markets, we also have diversity when it comes to that. Spring, summer, winter, or fall, there's always something in the farmers market that we can play with that plays with the emotions of the Fruit Loop eaters, you know, so to speak.
Okay, your last meal. It's your last meal on earth, and you got your wine, and you got and no judgment. It doesn't have to be healthy per se. What are you going for?
You know what? I'm gonna pull a margarita pizza out of a pizza oven, and I'm gonna slice it up for my family members and my favorite people on this earth. As we watch that comet come in, we're gonna slice down on that pizza, and we're gonna chomp down on probably a really nice. And I know I've been talking about North Carolina varietals, but I'm going to open up my nicest bottle of French wine that I have in my collection. We're going to pop it up and pass around glasses and just here's to humanity. This is our last meal together. This is the last meal we'll ever have. So let's enjoy it as the world comes to an end, so to speak.
Nicely done. Yeah. You got a. We've got a bunch of websites, and so I'll give you 30 seconds to hit the websites and your books and all of the things that you're all about. So I'll shut up and let her rip.
The Chef's Recovery is on Amazon, so you can check out the book that I wrote in 2014. It's called The Chef's Recovery. That's my cancer journey. My other site is ThankfullyLocalPrivateChefs.com. ThankfullyLocalPrivateChefs.com. TheResortChef.com. If you're interested and you're coming to North Carolina for the summer, TheResortChef.com is going to have all our great aspects that were discussed here in the show. All our wine pairings are up there for the spring menu and also the 250th anniversary of our country. That's going to be awesome. And finally, RealMedicalMeals.com, serving nationwide. RealMedicalMeals.com, longevity cuisine and or medical cuisine, whichever your needs might be. RealMedicalMeals.com. And you can contact me directly directly through any of those sites, I'm Chef Chuck Hayworth, soon to be Dr. Chef Chuck Hayworth. I'm working on a PhD, and I would love to hear from you and love to hear that you were listening to the show today and you reached out. So thankfully, localprivatechefs.com, realmedicalmeals.com, and of course, never forget the resortchef.com. If you're visiting North Carolina, we'd love to have you.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you so much.